Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will catch up with Charles Robinson here in just a second. Got a lot of things to get into with Charles. We did give him a homework assignment last week, and I'm interested to see what Charles has found on his homework assignment involving Will Levis. Now, we gave him that assignment, Joe, and then other people started talking about it over the weekend around the world of the NFL. So I feel like we were the trendsetter. Yeah, I mean, Fowler was on ESPN talking about how he's not heard about any of that stuff. And Florio's like, it's dysfunctional for the Titans to keep Will Levis as the backup quarterback. So a lot of conversation about that. We now welcome Charles Robinson into the program from Yahoo Sports on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, how are we doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We are awesome. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, we gave you a homework assignment last week, one that I'm sure you were very excited to pursue. The interest level around the league in Will Levis. What have you uncovered in your homework assignment?
I will be completely honest. There's not a lot of response.
It kind of tells you something. Was there like laughter in your face coming back or what?
There was definitely some like, hey man, we're busy getting ready for mini camp. like seriously, like,
you texted me for this?
Yeah, there was definitely some. They felt a little egregious. I mean, there were some guys that definitely felt it was a reach for me to be asking a little Levis question.
Just blame it on us
in early June. Although I will say this, I did come across one guy. Like, we were, you know, I just said theoretically, I said, look, who in the league is a Will Levis guy? Like, who's That's the thing. Like, somebody's got to be a guy who is a guy coming in, and I don't know why, but in my mind I'd completely forgotten. I think it was just because you don't keep delving into Will Levis when you kind of see him come apart last season. But he said to me, he said you have to approach it as a GM. He said you have to approach it when you want to move a guy. You have to approach it from need standpoint. So you sit down and you say, okay, let me sit down and look at all the backups in the league, because he's going to be a backup. He's going to be an upside backup, a backup who's got ceiling still. And, you know, you kind of lay it out. You say, all right, where are the teams that are lacking? Like a backup they can build into a future starter and, you know, might have some level of need. And then he says, you know, that's where you start to kind of, you know, sketch it out when you're going to want to send out some feelers and maybe start asking around, you know, who was high on a player. So he said, you know, right away, people should stare at, you know, Jacksonville. He said, Jacksonville's Nick Mullins is their backup. He said, one of the worst backups in the league. He said, but what's more important there is who's their head coach? And I said, well, Liam Cohen. He said, well, do you know what Liam Cohen was doing during Will Levis's junior year at Kentucky? Or, well, his good year before he went pro in Kentucky. And I said, I don't remember. That's just stupid. He said, Liam Cohen was Will Levis's offensive coordinator at Kentucky the last good year that Will Levis had at Kentucky. He said, Liam Cohen was a huge Will Levis proponent coming into the draft when he was the offensive coordinator for the Rams, and now he's the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's like, how did you not make this connection? I was like, because I'm stupid. But he said, look, I think they deal him inside the division? And he said, no, I don't think so. I said, but if there's anybody out there who is sitting there and saying, you know what, I have familiarity with a quarterback, I've worked with this quarterback, I like his skill set, and I thought a ton of him. I said, and, you know, he told me, he said, go out there and look. And so I did. So I went and looked, and at one point, Liam Cohen, he called Will Levis the steal of that draft. He said, I think he's going to steal the draft. Okay. Well, that's now the head coach of your Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's, you know, he's got a rapport with him, thought very, very highly of him, and his backup is not great. Nick Mullins, not a quality backup. for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there you go. You asked me to do the homework. Do you want to be Will Levis? Maybe the guy that is most interested is inside the division. Do you really want to deal, you know, this guy inside the division? I mean, look, is he going to supplant Trevor Lawrence? No. I mean, I don't. That's not going to happen. But, you know, could I see – is there logic there that Cohen could say, hey, let's bring in a young guy who I have experience with who schematically in terms of what they do with Trevor's probably likely – you know, it's going to be, it's not like you're taking stylistically one backup quarterback and then the starter and saying, well, geez, there's completely divergent skill sets. No, there's some similarity there. So yeah, that's it. I mean, and I actually think I was like, oh, that's a pretty good, you know, match if you ask me, because Cohen had a lot of success with Levis at Kentucky and, you know, to the point where when Cohen went to the NFL, what did we all, you know, go back to the pre-draft process, go, oh, well, he lost his OC to the NFL, you know, lost them to Sean McVay of all people. And, you know, that's why he had this kind of left-hand turn in college and struggled his last year at Kentucky because he had lost Cohen. So there you go. Now, what can you get out of him? I mean, honestly, I don't.
Nick Mullins.
I mean, I think there are some Titans fans that would say, yeah, trade him in the division. Go ahead. It'd be fine.
I mean, look, it's not like there's any path to the starting job there. They're not, you know, everything they're doing now is to build around Lawrence. But I would say there probably isn't if you know, I don't know Liam Cohen well or any family. I've had one conversation with him, you know, since he's been in the NFL. But I can see the attraction to saying, I want a backup who I have familiarity with, who I think I can work with, who maybe I can mold into a good enough player that if he gets snaps for us, maybe we can deal him down the line, you know, to a different team. You know, maybe we can rebuild him into a starter and build some equity there. So, yeah, but that was I felt dumb because the guy's like, come on, man, this is way easier. This is way easier than you're making it out to be. And I felt kind of stupid, but yeah, once he kind of pointed that out and I went and I did a little bit of research on it, I'm like, why did I not remember that Liam Cohen was this guy's, you know, big, I mean, he's preaching about the guy basically in that draft and I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. I wrote a story on Levis going into his rookie year, like after the draft. Here's my quote I got from Liam Cohen on him and his intensity. Quote, it's every meeting, it's every walkthrough, it's every jogthrough, it's every practice. It's all game-like for him. There's no taking it easy. It's full tilt. You never have to ask Will for more. You never will. You know how rare that is? Very rare.
Yep.
End quote.
Okay.
So there you go.
Joe, where were you last week?
We've talked about the Liam Cohen angle. I wanted you to find someone totally out of the blue who was like, we love Will Levis, but apparently
no one. That
person does not exist in the NFL is what you're telling
us. No, that said, I did kind of go through the exercise where he said it was an interesting conversation because I'd never thought about like, hey, when you go to trade a guy, you know, how does that really work? Because I've always felt like we do a bad job as journalists of kind of explaining the mechanics of how basic things work. And I even pitched this idea, I think, a couple of years ago to our place, which was like, let me do a series of stories about how this works, you know, how this one thing that happens in the NFL works. And like, one of them was, how does a trade work? Like, how does that happen? Like, does it just magically, you know, happen out of thin air, or is there actual, like, are there steps that teams take or certain general managers take to kind of get traction on an NFL trade? And in that sense, it was interesting to him, you know, to hear him say, well, look, if you're trying to deal a quarterback, sit down and look a field and find out where the weakest quarter, you know, backup quarterback spots out there and like, you know, create a scenario where you can start to have a conversation. If you know, you know, that GM, or if you have relationships with people in that organization. So I was like, oh, you know, that's smart. I never really thought about like sitting down and mapping out like where are the worst backup quarterbacks in the NFL and does that create traction? But if you sit there and look at it, Tampa Bay, I mean, Kyle Trask, I mean, that's not in any sense of the word. I don't think, you know, Kyle Trask, not a quality backup quarterback, I think, for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think, you know, here in Houston, you know, Davis Mills, not a quality quarterback. That's your guy. I think you'd argue, you know,
we love his neck
in Buffalo. I mean, Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh is a mess, right? Like right now, like they don't have a starting quarterback. They have Mason Rudolph as their backup, potential starter there. I think, though, the funny thing is when you kind of go through it, I was like, where does Tennessee rank on this list in terms of who their backup starter would be or their backup quarterback would be? They're pretty bad.
Pretty low.
Know, right? So you're like, okay, maybe they don't trade him because of the fact that, you know, their backup situation wouldn't exactly be in – I mean, it would probably be lower third, right? Would you?
Oh,
you could probably argue.
Well, yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean – there's also credence to him staying in place just because of the fact that there's familiarity with him, with the coaching staff. He's not, again, toolless as a backup. It's not like there's nothing there to work with. There is. And this is a different element of competition he's now chasing, right? Like, although, I don't know, a year ago, could we have said, is he chasing? I don't think he was chasing. I felt like he was going to, you know, the whole idea there to me was that he was set up to be the starter. So, but this is a completely different situation. He's not billed to be the starter this year. What does that look like now? He had a taste of a starting job. Now he's to the point where he's got to chase it and challenge, and he's really not in any way set up to win the job. So what does that look like? So that's another thing too. So there, that's it. I did a little bit of homework for you. Hopefully you're satisfied with it. Joe comes with a quote that he could have offered last week when we talked about it.
Yeah, too late. Okay. No, it's like a group project. Good job. We get a Joe. C-.
Thank you. Good stuff.
Thanks. That's the kind of guy who runs out of gas on a family trip.
Sure is.
Yeah, good stuff on that.
He's just hanging.
Who's asking the next question, me or you?
You.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going
to
ask.
I was waiting on you to do it.
I'm sorry. Well, I kind of chimed in with my little quote. All right. Well, we just talked to your coworker and our fellow Michigander, Vinny Goodwill, about Tom Thibodeau. So who's the Tom Thibodeau in the NFL?
It's got to be Sean McDermott, right? Like, that's the guy.
I could see
like, you feel like if they – you know, quote unquote breakthrough, right? Let's say, you know, the Bills, you know, put it all together. And now the difference with Thibodeau is he didn't make the finals. So it's like, if you're sitting there and we're talking about this, we're like, you know, who gets on the cusp of the Super Bowl, who really makes the challenge for the Super Bowl, and then it doesn't happen. And then they just pull the plug. I feel like that's gotta be the Bills. Like, even if the Bills, let's say, get an AFC title game, and they get close, and they fall short again. You know, I'll ask you this. Was Thibodeau, was that firing as surprising to you guys as it was to me? I was pretty surprised.
And the difference between them is that, you know, like, at some point you keep knocking on the door, and it's like, okay, then who can get us over the hump? But this is, like, the first time in forever that they made this thing. Right? Like, it'd be like firing McDermott after the first time they made it. You know what I mean? It's like, wait a minute, like – do you guys not know what your franchise has been? So, yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, I guess if we're talking about it like the first time ever, man, who would that be? That's a little tougher. Yeah, I didn't think about the aspect of it being the first time ever. What if it was like Miami, right? Like if it's like, you know, McDaniel. Gets them to the AFC title game and they fall short, and then he's you know, because Miami obviously hasn't gotten to that point. Yeah, I think that's probably a pretty good one. Mike McDaniel, I think, would be one in Miami where I think it would be surprised if he got them there, and then all of a sudden it was just, you know, hey, can't get him over the hump.
Well, you know, one thing that Vinny pointed out is that in his mind, this was pre-ordered. In other words, like, they were going to fire him. So what
–
barring probably a championship or maybe making the finals – so is there someone like that who is like in this league coaching where it's like it's probably the writing's on the wall, and we'll take it away from Nashville because we've talked about that plenty with Callahan, but like it would take some kind of incredible run to save his job.
Like basically making it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like no matter what, if this coach doesn't make it to the Super Bowl, does he get fired?
Like ownership is probably, you know, like a year ago, we all probably thought, even though it would be stupid because they just drafted Caleb Williams, like, well, boy, Eberflus, man, you know, doesn't look great for him, right?
Yeah, yeah. Man, that's a tougher one because it's, and I think that in a way kind of shows what an outlier like the Thibodeau decision was, because it's just so hard to see a team in the NFL where you're like, there's this like Super Bowl or you're fired, you know, mandate. And it would have to honestly say something, I think, about ownership, being a little bit impetuous, you know, to make ultimately that kind of a decision. Maybe Cincinnati, you know?
Yeah, that's not bad.
I could see Cincinnati because you've just paid the quarterback, you paid the wide receivers. Like, you're doing things that are somewhat outside your norm, right? Like, you're really, really opening the checkbook for a lot of parts of the team, plus Trey Hendrickson. There's this frustration with Trey Hendrickson. So I could, you know, I guess that would be the one where I'm like, okay, Cincinnati makes it to the AFC, you know, title game, doesn't make the Super Bowl. They haven't, you know, they've paid out all this money and then there's some kind of a left-hand turn where it's like, hey, look, you know, no way. We've paid out so much money at this point. We're burning Burrow years. So there has to be this kind of a change.
So Charles, teams around the league are looking for young wide receivers all the time, as you know. And I'm looking at the Packers right now, and they've just drafted Matthew Golden and Savion Williams. They've already got Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, and to a lesser degree, Dontayvion Wicks. So they've got kind of this young core of wide receivers. Right. And you're looking around and you're saying, all right, well, where's the spots for all these guys? They can probably make it work this year for 1 year, but like as time goes on here, do you think that the Packers are going to have to make one of these younger wide receivers, be it a Watson, a Doubs, whoever, available via trade?
I mean, it's a crowded room. It's kind of hard when you sit there and you go, you really sit there and you stare at the roster and you go, okay, well, do all these guys make it? Because you figure, like, your starters right now, it's got to be Reed, right? Reed, I would assume it's Golden because of, you know, the draft compensation that was invested there. I would think, you know, Romeo Doubs has got to be your other starter just from a productivity standpoint. Christian Watson, you can't count on because the injuries, he's got the skill level, but beyond that, I mean, you just can't count on him. You know, Wicks was the guy who I thought was going to break through, developed, you know, problems catching the football, kind of called back to his college career. Savion Williams, you just invested a third round pick on him. So I think that's probably your top six. I think you can go, like, it makes sense to me that you go into the season with six wideouts because of the fact that I think you're still going to use Reed on special teams. That would be my guess at this stage, that they'll still use him on special teams. So you don't necessarily have to free up one of these guys now. And again, there's been a lack of reliability across the board. So you're like, we have no idea who our guy, I mean, even our starters, Jaden Reed, who I thought was ready to take the next step last year, also started dropping the football. And it was like, what the heck's going on? This is supposed to be, you know, their versatile guy. And now he's starting to fall apart a little bit. I would say in terms of like, if there are teams out there interested, I still think the problem with Watson is the injuries and the coming off the knee. It's like, is he going to be the same guy? But he's put together, like in terms of like speed, size, you know, hands aren't great, but they're definitely not as bad as they were at the beginning of his career. You know, there's a lot there to like, especially if you can get them for pretty much nothing. And I don't think a lot of these guys have a lot of trade value. I personally still think Wicks has some film where you watch it and you go, he moves like a number one wide receiver. He sets up, you know, DBs sometimes in routes in ways where you're like, it looks pretty special. There's some people, you know, around the league who spend a lot of time on wideouts and you know, kind of score them their own unique ways, who thought very highly of Wicks going into last season. So maybe there's some traction there. But again, I think it's when you don't know who your top three guys are, it's really hard to convince another team, you know, to come and get a guy. And then, you know, look, what are the needy teams out there? You know, Pittsburgh still can use some wide receivers, the Giants. the Jets to some degree. I think the Browns. I'll ask you about the Titans.
Titans could use some wide receivers.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean the Titans could use some wide receivers.
Fill in
as
the
well,
blank,
so.
But yeah, fill in the position blank. True. But yes, wide receivers. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, right. We can go across the roster, but do I think it's possible for one of those guys to have a second life outside of Green Bay? Yeah, I do, but I just. You know, you're going to have to get past some warts. They're going to have to figure it out, you know, in a new place. And I don't think, you know, it's just you don't beat down the door for those kind of guys. You kind of wait and see who gets cut. I think that's the approach. When teams probably look at Green Bay, they're like, all right, there's six guys there, including two rookies. Maybe one of those veterans comes loose. And I would guess, Wicks is the one that if anybody's looking at that roster, Wicks is the one that they'll call and say, hey, you know, what's a late round pick for like a seventh for Wicks, you know, just because you've seen something in him that you like. If I was Dallas, I mean, he busted up Dallas in the playoffs. And if I was the Cowboys could use wide receiver depth. If I was Dallas, I'd make a call on Wicks because you've seen him just obliterate your secondary in a way that was really, really tough to take in a playoff game. And I think he's a guy that could probably walk in there and be your number three right away.
All right, so Charles, I see this. I've seen this too much. It bothers me. I totally disagree. But I understand. Look, I may be wrong, and maybe Jaden Daniels is up for a regression. I've seen people poke at his numbers. They're not really that amazing. Oh, we had a Hail Mary. I mean, to me, I watched him play last year. I saw a guy with incredible poise, accuracy, who can always extend a play. Sure. I think he's going to be a star in this league for a long time, and he's going to be one of the top QBs in the league. But some people think he's due for regression. We do see this rookie regression. Where are you on that? If not him, which rookie would you look at as the big regression candidate at QB?
I think it's 100% possible that Daniels is that guy because – we discussed this on the show before, like it felt like everything went right there for them because they had, I mean, I went through there and they're, you know, people inside the team were like, we are a work in progress on offense. We got a lot of work to do on the offensive line. You know, all these pieces around Jaden, we're still working on filling all those out. And, you know, as I've said on the show before, he was a guy that, you know, he was the tide that raised all boats. But it was a lot of perfect, like things went perfectly a majority of the season last year. And again,
well, some of their wins, but his performance was not smoke and mirrors.
Yes, you're right. I mean, it's real. It's absolutely real. But what game was it? It was a game where I thought he tore up his knee. He was fine, but it was a game where I was watching completely spaced out on this. And I think I brought it up before and have just never gone back and figured out which game it was. But there was a game where he looked like he was injured. And then he came back in, he was okay. Or maybe he didn't finish that game.
I think it was a Falcons game.
It was, I'll have to go back and look. But there was an injury scare during the season where, and to me, it immediately brought back the feeling of when he was in the draft, the hits he would take, right, at LSU. We had the funny memes where he would get hit. It was like the sonic rings would pop out. Like, he just would get hammered. He didn't take a lot of those in the NFL, which was interesting because there was a big worry about him in the NFL draft, some of the punishment he would take. And so that's one aspect of it where I'm like, look, okay, he avoided all the hits. Is that real or is that an anomaly? Like, he managed to go an entire season. So there's that question. I think number two, and this is the Stroud thing, what if his line falls apart in a way that, like, it did in Houston? Like, Stroud's line fell apart. Remember, we thought Stroud was like, I went through camp last year saying he could be an MVP, you know, in year two in Houston with those wideouts, right? And then what I didn't envision was the offensive line just completely falling apart, and then the OC Bobby Slowick never being able, now fired, obviously Bobby Slowick, never changing the offense in a way to, you know, augment what was going on in that offensive line. And Stroud got destroyed over the course of the season, cost Slowick his job. You know, Stroud had the step back or the little bit of the sophomore regression. Cliff Kingsbury, historically, let's be real. I mean, you know, he does things well, but he always had that thing in Arizona where it was like, not a second half coach, you know, like his, you know, he never tweaks the offense enough to keep teams guessing. So I think that's the question from year one to year two with Jane Daniels. Does he change it enough to continue to keep teams guessing, or does it sort of stay static and then teams figure out what doesn't Jaden do well? Oh, geez, and then they're not pass protecting enough. And maybe a couple of guys around him don't have, you know, there's not like a Zach Ertz that comes out, it just comes out of nowhere and becomes this, like, you know, they weren't depending on Zach Ertz to really do anything last year. And then he ends up being one of Jaden Daniels' biggest pieces. So yeah, absolutely. I think that's completely fair to question whether or not he might have a regression that is not so much about what he doesn't do well, but maybe some of the other things that broke the right way for Washington last year, you know, maybe don't break right this year. I could see that. And by the way, you know, let's be real here. Drake May, he had flashes last year for New England. Totally possible that he doesn't take the big step forward this year. I mean, you could kind of argue that Drake May's rookie season is not a complete departure from what we saw from Will Levis in Tennessee. People forget that we were like, hey, wait a minute. Okay. You know, we've seen some good games from this guy. We've seen some flashes. It looks like they have their guy. Some similar, like it was kind of a little bit similar in New England with May. And then Penix could totally end up being the backup by the end of the year next year in Atlanta, especially if Cousins is still there. Penix,
so you hate all the quarterbacks. Good. All right.
No, I don't hate all of them, but I'm just like, it's not, I think it is a class that has a chance to be a few years out, like that 83 class where like, oh man, there's a bunch of dudes and they're, and you know, they don't all hit, but a bunch of them end up being really, really good players. But we're probably a little over our skis with what we liked last year versus what, you know, this expectation that these guys are just going to, you know, take this next big. Hey man, Mac Jones, I thought Mac Jones was it. That was the guy who solved all the problems in New England. And what the heck happened?
May specifically, like, there were some great moments that he had last year for sure. I think his rookie season has been
overblown
no a little doubt. Bit heading into to this year.
Yes.
But don't worry. He's absolutely. Got Braves now.
And,
he'll be fine.
And you know, but I will say for May, let's be fair, what did he really have? He had nothing to work with. I mean, you know, if Keyshawn Booty is your, like, go-to, that's, like, your guy, you know, I'm like, dude, there was, like, 5 minutes ago, the Patriots were like, we got to get rid of this dude. This is like, it's like, you absolutely have to get him off the roster. And then he ends up kind of being your go-to guy in New England. And your offensive line is absolutely terrible. And your running back, you know, room isn't dynamic. I mean, you didn't have anything to work with, but okay. So that doesn't guarantee success. You know, same with Penix. It's a really attractive quarterback class. We're still probably 2 years from knowing really ultimately what we have in that class. And by the way, Nix, right? Are we just assuming, like, you know,
he'd be my candidate.
Okay. So we don't like any of the quarterbacks.
They all suck.
This is a brutal class. Way, guys,
peak June 5 conversation. Okay.
Exactly.
Like we're like, Hey, what are we going to talk about today? Let's crap on all those quarterbacks.
Let's just get them all gone.
Charles, thank you, sir. Great stuff as always. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
Charles Robinson, our guest, joins us every Thursday morning at 8.
Call him, sir.
React to what – I did that.
You called me, sir.
I've done it a couple
too.
Times in the show. And
you son of a gun.
Ian noticed. And more coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Lil Baby at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday night. Be caller 2, 615-737-1025. Rapid fire, caller 2 wins a pair of tickets to see Lil Baby at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Sunday night. You may or may not find Paul Kuharsky at that concert.
That'd be great.
You know,
dressed up in a big man diaper.
Goo goo gaga.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
Don't we have a PK drop, don't we? Go there and do that.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to see that? Appreciate Charles for being with us in the last segment. Some news.
I may now say you suck. Everyone sucks. Google Gaga. Suck, suck, suck.
I think it may be your favorite. You love that one.
It's that. I mean, that one or the smoke weed constantly. It's very close.
Joe, some news in the NFL. The Ravens have signed Rashad Bateman to a contract extension. 3 years, $36.75 million. That includes $20 million in guaranteed money. So Rashad Bateman, a former first-round pick of Baltimore, signed to a three-year contract extension. So there you go.
That's a pretty good chunk of change for him.
Yeah, not bad. I mean, for a guy, when you're looking at his production, who is coming off what I believe was his best year. Yes, 45 catches, 756 yards, nine touchdowns for Rashad Bateman last year.
Yeah, but the thing about the Ravens when you're judging, I think receivers in particular, I mean, you know, you look at their production and how they play. I mean, so much of their offense is on the ground.
Yep.
So you got to take that into account. He makes plays. He has made big plays. Now, you know, last year, you know, was, I mean, his first 3 years, he didn't do a lot, you know. I mean, shoot, he only played in five games his second year. The year before was underwhelming. But given last year, you think about 16-8 a catch and nine touchdowns,
pretty
those
good.
Are big plays. Those big plays are made possible by what they do. Right, with you know, with the tight end, with Derrick Henry, with Lamar Jackson,
yeah.
But that's still like I can see people looking at the production and being underwhelmed. But again, watch him play. He doesn't have the same opportunities that some receivers on other teams have that are a lot more pass centric.
If I'm the Titans, I would be keeping an eye, and I think a lot of teams will be, on Green Bay and what happens with their wide receiver room. I don't know that it's necessarily going to be a this year thing because, I mean, it's June at this point. Probably is what it is.
Yeah.
But they've got, I mean.
So those guys are hurt sometimes. Yeah. So
they've got Christian Watson, who is hurt, and I don't know when he's going to be back this year. He's apparently ahead of schedule, but who knows what that means. So Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed. They just drafted Matthew Golden in the first round. They drafted Savion Williams in the third round. So that's five right there. And then you throw in Dontavian Wicks as a part of it as well. You know, not those guys have all played enough where somebody's not going to love being the sixth guy in there, right? Like, I mean, the two draft picks notwithstanding. But those two guys, you just drafted them in the first round and third round, they're going to play. Like, those two guys are going to play. So whether it's Doubs that ends up being the odd man out at some point or a guy like Wicks, if I'm the Titans, I'd keep my eyes open for those guys. I mean, you're talking about – in Doubs' case, I think he's 25 years old, and Wicks is, let's see here, he is 23. So, I mean, you're talking about a ton of wide receivers they've got that are all like 24, 25, 23, 26 years old. So one of them is going to shake loose. I would keep an eye on that if you're the Titans or other teams looking for younger wide receivers.
I would be interested in Doubs. I know he had not happy times last year and whatever, all that stuff, but
he's a productive guy.
He can play.
Yeah. So we'll see what ends up becoming of that. But, like, I still – hopefully the 2 fourth-rounders that you just took if you're the Titans work out. I still think there's going to be some revamping of the receiving core that they're going to have to do over the next couple of years. Like, Tyler Lockett's not going to be here forever. And, look, Ridley's 30. Like, he could still probably give you a couple more good years, but Ridley's 30. So you got to start to look and – identify kind of what that next wave of receivers for Cam Ward is going to look like moving forward. And sure, some of it's going to come via draft, but you know, if a younger guy that's been productive shakes loose, if you're the Titans over the next couple of years, you should probably be involved in those discussions.
Start crying for Ryan. Play like Jebediah for Jeremiah. I don't know. The 2027 draft. Make sure you stink in 2026.
I will say, though, like if they're in position to draft either one of those guys in 2027, means it's probably not going all that well for Cam Ward, would be my guess.
But get excited for the new stadium and one of those receivers. Yeah. I mean, maybe Cam Ward is fine and doing pretty well. The defense is atrocious. You have a coaching change, whatever, whatever.
Maybe.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to envision being in a position to draft one of those two guys who, at this point, when you look at their draft, are probably going top five, both of them. Probably yeah. not going to go well for Cam Ward if that's the case.
No, it's going to be really interesting with those guys. You remember Jamar Chase sat out the 2020 college season, right?
Correct.
Yeah, and then was a rookie in 21. Be really interesting with those guys in terms of, you know, going into, you know, they're both going to play this year. They're going to play this year.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Williams got to take a hammer to Vanderbilt.
That's
apparently.
Right, to the Vandy Ants. But in 2026, if I'm there, either agents, I could definitely make the case like, you're going to sit this year? But that's the difference between college football now. It's like, or like.
Go make a lot of money.
Yeah, you can make $2.5 million this year or whatever, $3 million to play. So they probably will play.
Probably.
So, again, this is one of those – I would make the case. This is one of those where, you know, NIL should help the game.
It should. We'll see what happens
on that
front.
We'll see if that's how it plays out.
Both those guys are true freshmen and would have been wide receivers 1 and 2 off the board this year in the draft. I have no doubt.
I agree.
That's how good they are.
Even the 17-year-old.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. A couple of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We will do that. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The PFL World Championship semifinals are Thursday, June the 12th at Municipal Auditorium, and you can be there. Text in the keyword MATCH to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP ringside tickets. Visit pflmma.com/schedule for more details. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Sunny on the text line. Going back to our receiver conversation for the Titans to land one of Ryan Williams or Jeremiah Smith, says Ward does well this year, gets hurt next year. They suck because of that, and they get a top five pick in 2027.
Oh, okay. You get the amazing rookie season. You have to have the reset injury year, but then you know you're going to be awesome with him in 27, and you bring in
one of those guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
There you go. Good.
Sorry,
plan.
Sorry, Cam. You got to get hurt.
Yeah,
year two.
Yeah. There you go. Cameron and I have been going back and forth on the Levis, you know, and I generally agree, like, this idea that, like, his one good year with Liam Cohen at Kentucky was a little bit overblown. But Mel Kiper, but he's not right in then saying, like, Mel Kiper was the only one, you know, or I don't even know if it was Kiper. Like, a lot of people were talking about Will Levis after 21 about as the possible one overall in the 23 draft.
Kiper was definitely
like
one
it,
of them.
Like yeah. it or not. That's what they were talking about. And, again, that was very good production. He played very well. Again, Kentucky in the SEC, Mark Stoops done a good job, but they typically are a little bit of an uphill climb talent-wise in a lot of weeks. And not incredible numbers, but good enough. And, you know, you saw the arm. You saw the athleticism. You know, he was running all over the place. I mean, you know, size, all that stuff. Like, there was reason for people to think that way. And, again, even the next year when his performance dipped, Cohen leaves, the offensive line was trash. Remember the performance at Knoxville. It was awful. There were excuses built in for him. And it's not like anybody moved off that he was a first-round pick. He didn't end up being one. He ended up going to the top of the second round. But, you know, it was a little bit overblown. But also I think some people think that he was a sixth-round pick all along, and that's just not true.
No, that part of it certainly not true. It is.
He's also hasn't been good.
I mean, it's kind of funny to hear Charles. So Charles goes through the homework assignment. Liam Cohen is what he comes back with.
Yeah.
And you think of like any sort of other interest around the league, and his response is basically like, yeah, no, not very many people texting back on the Will Levis part of it. Which, you know, if you're like me and think it would be great for the Titans to move on from him and just kind of reset the quarterback room there with Cam Ward coming in, are they going to be able to do that? Are you just going to have to cut him at some point?
To me, the premise of them doing it was never that they're going to get something.
No, I'm not worried about what they get back for him.
Yeah. I mean, it's – so
– but I don't know that it sounds like anybody's willing to give up anything for him right now based on what Charles is saying.
And look, they view it the exact same way that PK does, which is, he is more talented, more capable of doing something on a given Sunday than like Brandon Allen. So why not? But I'm more on Florio's side. I don't know if I'd call it dysfunctional, but I don't think it's worth it.
It was kind of funny going through the list of backup quarterbacks and some of those situations in the league. And then, you know, as Charles pointed out, you get to the Titans. It's like, okay, well, where does that one rank? It's not very good. Right now your options are Levis, Brandon Allen, and Tim Boyle as your backup quarterbacks. None of those really inspire all that much confidence in me. So
no. No.
Whether you want to look at Pittsburgh or any of these other backup quarterback situations, the Titans are right there with bad backup quarterback situations.
Yeah, and there's always those names every year. Should we read this about our hard work?
I think we should.
I think we should totally fluff ourselves. Hey, Robbie and Joe, I'm a lifelong construction worker, Marine veteran, crawling through the mud, blood, and beer. I helped build Titan Stadium, Bridgestone, Saturn GM, TVA, Music City Center, etc. Want to let you know I got a good laugh this morning with your self-deprecating humor. I want all three of you to know you perform a very valuable service to all us poor slobs out here eating dirt and worse every day. Just to take my mind off the grind for a few minutes is a blessing. Whatever they're paying you, it ain't enough. Thank you. I mean, I know.
Glad somebody recognizes our hard work.
Yeah, man. The $2.5 million a year, we are going to renegotiate that. I want you to know. And thanks for your hard work. It's not quite as hard as our work. You know? So we came in today a full 2 hours before the show and listened to podcasts.
Yeah.
So
we've been sitting down the entire time.
We've been busting ass.
Yeah, that's what we do, man.
But seriously, thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate the kind words. We do.
We
try to keep in perspective. You know, somebody who at different points in my life has done some different jobs and has done some manual labor. I think people in our business sometimes don't really have a concept of what actual work looks like. So it's good to be reminded every now and then. But yeah, we work hard. Rex Road especially, hard worker.
Hey man, when I was a hot trucker, my first job was bagger at a commissary in Saudi Arabia. But you know, hot trucking in the dorms. Hot trucking is hard, dude. That means you are taking the humongous, massive hot trays of lasagna.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
They're good workout.
Like I put in some.
That's why that physique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You'll just get it.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. It's part of – it's got to be built.
Wisconsin cheesy chicken. You ever had that?
No. Sounds good.
Very popular dish at Michigan State.
Sounds like it could be good.
The dorms. Wisconsin cheesy chicken. It's heavy as hell, though.
I say.
Then I got promoted to milk guy.
Really?
Like the bags of milk
that
you put them in, it's lighter. You put the little bags of milk in, and you know, then people come up and get the little milk glass.
Sure, yeah.
Chocolate milk, regular milk, all kinds of milk.
Which one do you like more, regular milk or chocolate milk?
Well, chocolate milk is actually supposed to be a big thing for for workouts.
Yeah,
Michigan football fans, you know what I'm talking about. Mike Barwis, he's supposed to be the greatest strength coach in the history of football. You know what I'm talking about. Random, just rambling.
That
right
Scott
now for
Cochran
me.
Guy. Did he ever yell about chocolate milk? I need you lower.
Yeah. I drink a lot of milk, Andrea.
Wow, look at Ian.
Ian is ready with a milk drop.
Ready to go at all
just
times.
Ready with a milk drop
at all times.
Good job.
All right, I think it's time for us to get.
We
out
worked
of here.
Hard today, baby.
Jason, Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.